had people saying this was inappropriate and other people saying this was completely fine. There was nothing wrong with what I was doing and people were just making it weird. So of course I had to bring this issue to the big stage. I would like to represent myself in this case, Your Honor, if I may.
Picture me I-10 swerving in that 07 Cadillac on factory, so you might think I'm your reverend. Trill Entertainment. Fox and Mill. Ain't but one Fox, baby. I done all the way to Houston. H-Town. I got the people's champ.
Yo, it's JP on the FWM podcast. Follow me, the Diary of the Strong Black People. I'm here again in the rabbit hole. It's season 3, episode 1. We back at it again. I appreciate everybody who's been rocking with me up until this point, from first season, second season, up until now, man. It's been a wild ride. And I just couldn't have picked a better audience, man, and people who really, really rock with me, who reach out to me, you know, who's been there with me from, you know, since the beginning, from being on the pod, you know, always calling, giving me criticism, or, you know, always talking about what you heard and dialogue. And like you say, let's talk about it. And man, it's just so much appreciation that I have for those ones who've been sticking around, man. Thank you. It's season 3, and we're gonna turn this one up this season for y'all, man. What better way to start the season off, man, with man, you know how I like to go on social media. And I came across a couple of days ago, man, where this teacher had his kids taking his hair out. Now, let's be honest. Social media is a place of opinions. And, you know, you on live with TikTok and all these platforms, and especially when you going live, and you're able to interact with people at that moment in real time. Right. And as people seeing this, you know, I don't think people understand that back. I'm a millennium, so I was born in 89. So pretty much raised as a 90s baby. So the thing about it is early millenniums, early 80s, even 90s babies going into, you know, 99, especially the ones that was born late 80s, early 90s, going into like 98, 99, right before internet took the world by storm. A lot of things we did when we were in school that most teachers now, as millennium teachers, they just remember what we did when we were in school, the type of teachers we had and what we did for our teachers, what we did interacting with our teachers. I think they still see that. They took that into the classroom with them, but don't realize, you know, when it comes to these cell phones and everything that hits the internet, it stays forever. And thousands and millions of people get to see this in not only real time, but reviewing it. Anything that we did back in the 90s, you really had to be there to know the effect or how we felt when we did a lot of things in school or just out in this world. We got stories to tell. We got campfire stories that, you know, when we doing kickbacks and things like that, or at gatherings when we smoking or drinking, or, you know, we in a vibe to where we just reminiscing with each other. Stories is one thing that we just lived off of, rather than this generation, you know, is everything has to be recorded, because if it's not recorded, nobody believes you that it happened. And we don't realize that even though a lot of people saying, you know, that it was projection of traumas and things that some of the parents went through, that you would project that to his true intentions. And that can be, you know, two things can be right. Maybe that is right. But secondly, the thing about it is, when you're viewing this in your lens as a parent, you know, when you become mature and not in a childish mind anymore, you know, you realize the things we did. When you're looking at it in your lens as a parent, now you start to think like, damn, now when I look at this shit, it do kind of look kind of weird. If it doesn't to you, it's wild. It's wild to me that a lot of the crazy, just outlandish shit we did as kids, man, when you have matured and bettered yourself and you've gotten out of childish ways, when you look at the younger generation doing it, if it doesn't make you look like turn your head sideways or kind of sometimes even make you like, damn, you're crazy to me. Like, it just blows my mind. But just watching this as a father, I just must say, any man, just this, my generation, from the generation that I was raised by, right? Let's even just say that the fathers, the two parent households, not only that, if you don't have the two parent household, the old granddaddy or the close uncles that you had, the older uncles that you had, especially in the hood, anything like that, that are in kids' lives that can see that, whether it's projection of what they used to do back in the day, it don't matter. But as a grown man, when you see your daughters, your nieces, your little cousins doing something like that, man, you like, man, what the hell? They don't go to school for that. Because when you look at that, man, no man sends his daughter to school thinking she about to be playing in a grown man hell, her teacher. It's bad enough that, not that we don't have enough male teachers, that we don't have enough black male teachers in the school system. Because even with black women that we had back in the day as teachers, old time religion, old time moral raising, those were the good times. But let's not forget, when you have a structured black man to lead and to teach your kids, man, it's nothing better to have that. Because men, let's take race out of it, black or white, a man's job, period, is to structure and to lead. But then you put in a black man, a strong black man in those shoes. Man, just imagine the type of structure, the type of leadership he brings to the table. And if we substitute a lot of those old time religion women, that not only that they cared, but let's be honest, women tend to be unaccountable. They tend to, you know, not hold kids accountable fully to what, knowing the punishment don't fit the crime. But if you don't do the crime at all, you won't have to worry about if the punishment fits the crime. Even black mothers, even mothers, period, the lengths they'll go to protect their children out of trouble, knowing good and well they had no business doing it. Yes, people make mistakes. Yeah, kids make mistakes because they don't know. However, though, understanding that no matter what the severity of the punishment is, you can't complain whether the punishment fits the crime because you had no business committing the crime, whether you know not, nor you're old enough to grasp severity of the things that you do. Ignorance of the law don't save you. It don't save you. It doesn't. And I don't think people even understand that. However, just imagine the type of structure that a black man can possess. So when I look at that, and when a lot of people, you know, just when I shared it, it was like, well, it's just hair. As a man, a visionary, you know, looking further than what the eyes can see right here in front of me, I noticed that. But then I'm looking even further on that, just thinking like, how can you put yourself in such a position like this? As a black man, as who we kings and leadership, how can you fumble like this? When you have an opportunity, knowing good and well, not only that black men may not get that opportunity, do I believe that? I believe anybody has that. If a black men want to get into teaching, they can get that, because first of all, now it's a teacher shortage. So he won't get blackballed out of that to be like, well, you know, we don't want man teachers and black male teachers in the public, in the public school realm, because he may lead his black children to greatness. It's not that anymore. It's too much opportunity. So if he really wanted to be in there, he would. So when you do get there, knowing what we as millennials lacked and what we didn't have, which is the male black teacher in public schooling like we're supposed to have an influx of them now, to have that opportunity now, and you fumble it like this, it's ridiculous. It's no way that you would think that that's cool. Having, whether or not your intentions, people keep saying, oh, we looking at it as over-sexualizing. No, the crazy thing is men are not looking at it like that. Women that saying that on the internet, no, what y'all are doing is projecting. Because you know why y'all projecting? It's because this, y'all know, back in the day, y'all sexualized teachers, male teachers, the small number of black men teachers that we had. The things I used to hear from the girls my age when I was in middle school, high school. Mr. Such and Such, he fine. You too young to be thinking about that. So just imagine, knowing good and well, a grown man should not take advances to a young girl, but look how some of y'all ended up getting into those situations. One teacher end up sitting there feeling on y'all. It's ridiculous. No, men are not projecting that. Men are looking at this as, man, how can you put yourself in this type of predicament, dog? How can you fumble like that because of projection and the optics of how it looks, whether or not you got intentions of that? Look at the optics. It's important. Our reality is from perception. Whether or not that should be true or real, it doesn't matter. In this world, perception is big, because you know why? Y'all have played into this and made it this way because of social media, because you want to stunt in front all the time on the internet. You got to show your outfit. You got to show when you on vacation. You got to show when you got this new promotion. You got to. Y'all have made perception a reality for folks. You have made this thing, which you see on social media for someone, how they live in their life, that you would think, oh, they real. But not realizing the internet is the fakest place that they can be for you to just be what you want to be, knowing good and well you're not that. Knowing good and well you're not working towards that. But you get to just sit there and post pictures. We are in a life right now to where you've never met thousands of people before a day in your life, but because you follow them, and you see what they post every day, you have built this whole perception of what their life is. That's crazy. We've gotten so weak mentally that you know it's not real. You know it, but you will still fix your mind to think that is. To be like, oh, nah, I know it's fake, but nah, that could... No. Nobody who wants to sit there and put their life on the internet that people can be able to have a watchful eye on them. Thousands, millions of people that you can have no privacy. Y'all have played in social media so hard that you have no privacy. You have to look over your shoulder. You can't trip up and fall, walk into your mailbox without someone's camera. Either they got their phone out or you done got caught on somebody's Ring camera, tripping up and falling, and you can go viral. That's a very uncomfortable life. Very uncomfortable, dog. But for this man to do that, it blows my mind, bro. And people like, man, he shouldn't have lost his job. He got to. He has to learn that, bro, that was a bad move. And as a man, bro, you got to hold yourself accountable whether or not the punishment fit the crime. You got to be able to sit back and be like, damn, man, I shouldn't have did that. I'm going to tell you this, right? I'll never forget. I hurt my back about a month and a half ago, right? And I was squatting at the gym and had a little too much dip on my chip when I was squatting. I had a little too much weight. I said, well, you know what? When I warm up, I always warm up with a certain amount of weight. But today, that day, I said, you know what? I'm going to go up 10 pounds and warm up with this. And I proceeded to squat. Man, you ever been in the car when you was little and you used to pretend that you was, you know, driving the car when the car was off? And when the car is cut off, if you turn the steering wheel a certain way, it locks. Soon as I squatted, that's what I heard. And I couldn't move for about 5 seconds. I finally was able to get the weights back on the bar. And when I tell you, I had the most uncomfortable pain just shot from the bottom of my ass cheek to like the middle of my back or right above my waistline. I mean, I tried to lay down. I tried to do all of that. I was so uncomfortable knowing I needed to still go and grab my stuff and drive back to the house so I could just lay down. Man, that was the most uncomfortable ride I ever took from the gym to the house. Not only that, I got to go to work after that. I say, damn. I'm talking about walking stiff. And I stand up a good bit on my job. I got to work and I tried to go through it. I was like, I already even said from the jump. I told my supervisor, like, man, and I messed my back up, but it's ugly. I'm gonna press through it. So I bet. Now, throughout the day, I'm uncomfortable. I'm leaning on the thing. I'm leaning on the kiosk. I'm like, bro, shit. So I grab a chair, sit down. All right. Now, it's a whole bunch of people going back and forth. I'm so fucked up, hurt, that I'm talking about the mental. Like, I'm mentally fatigued. I'm talking about I'm right here. I'm messed up. Man, I have a little, you know, menthol vape. And I'm just sitting here. I'm so fucked up. I'm hitting my vape in the building. But you know how we used to smoke the weed to where you had your hand over it to where nobody can see. Now, I'm doing that, knowing good and well I ain't supposed to be doing that. But I'm like, you know, usually when I used to do it, I always do it to where nobody see me. I always sneak and do it. But this time, I'm all in the open with this shit. Like, what am I doing? Somebody takes a picture of it. Customer takes a picture of it. Send it to the big manager. So I hear him go to my supervisor and was like, man, you can't vape in the building. And he showed him the picture. So my supervisor was about to come. Was walking up to me and was like, hey, I was like, hey, I heard him. Don't worry about it. So maybe like 15 minutes later, he walks up to me and say, you know, man, you sitting down and shit like that, man. I know you hurting and shit like that. And I don't really want them to come back and be bitching about it. I told them that your back hurt and shit like that. So, you know, I may just send you home. I said, well, nah, I'm gonna put the chair up. I'm gonna stand up. I'm gonna try to fight through it. Got down, fighting through it. I was like, you know what? I need to dip. So now when I leave, I know I'm thinking about it. I'm like, man, here I go with that fuck shit. I was like, man, I done told him I'm a dip. Knowing good and well, I done caught up with all that shit. Man, the next day I come, it's going to be some bullshit. So now I'm already anticipating that. I can't even really be comfortable because I know when I finally go back to work, there may be a conversation that has to be had. So now my supervisor, me and him real tight. I've always believed a friendship outside of the job should never, when you at work, that you should never have to put your friend in a predicament when they're over you, that they would have to ever make a decision. That when if the corporate says that they may have to let you go, that you should ever feel like you have to defend me, not because I'm your friend, but because I'm an asset. And I have always stood by that when it came to when I began to have relationships with my managers, you know, on a friend tip outside of work. I always tell them, man, don't ever be able to have an uncomfortable conversation with me about work, because I've always believed that I should always be an asset and not a liability. So I believe I should never have to put myself in a position that you have to have a conversation with me. But if you ever have to, don't ever feel no type of way to have it. All right. So now, come back to work. He has to have that conversation with me. Man, you know, goddamn, such and such, Diane got the picture, man. He think I should have a documented conversation, write you up, da 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 da. And I'm like, you know what, bruh? That's on me. I should always be on my P's and Q's about what I got going on. So, bruh, if you got to do that, I can't be mad at you. But I told him, man, you know, he should, you know, I'm going to have a conversation with you. He shouldn't. I said, no, bruh. Don't ever put yourself, you got to feed your family, dog. I did that. Now, if he agrees to that just your conversation with me is okay, I'm fine with it. But if you have to, you got to do it. And I'm going to have to sign that motherfucker, dog, because I did that shit. Man, bro, I appreciate it. Man, don't you ever feel no type of way about having a conversation with me, bro. I did that. I put myself in that. And I've always told you that I will not do that. And I slipped up, not only as your best employee, but as your dog. So if you got to do that, you do what you got to do. And that's the difference, man. We know we put ourselves in shit and we still, man, that ain't fair. Oh, we ain't had to lose his job. No, that man got, if he has to lose his job, he have to, bro, because if that would have been my time that I got let go, I would have had to eat that. Because I did that. I should not have been. That's bullshit. I shouldn't have been doing that in the building. I shouldn't have. So if that punishment, I can't control what the punishment is for the crime that I commit. Now, granted, if somebody would have had that on camera and posted that virally, you think it would have been a goddamn just a documented conversation that they would have had with me? No, it would have looked crazy. So for public opinion, and that's the issue. Public opinion, the pressure of social media and the outside opinions of millions of people that not in your position or will ever have to be able to be in your shoes, have a say-so on an opinion of what should happen to you. That's the issue. If a parent would have just went to them because the parent heard that he be letting them take his hair out, and he go up to them and she go up to the school, or he go up to the school and talk to the principal. If the principal decides to just have a conversation with him, that's fine. Because we don't know. We don't see what he actually did. All it is he say, she say. Or we can just imagine what the severity was of how it looked when the kid's playing in his hair. But now that he put that on camera, dog, he has the outside opinion of other people, and other people have the pressures to have to call the school and be like, no, we want him gone. And if you don't let him go, we are going to look at how y'all run y'all school a certain way after millions of people have seen it. You can't be mad at them. You can't. You put yourself in that. If y'all stop wanting to put everything on social media, you will be all right. You will be all right. A lot of the things you go through, a lot of decisions that's made, you will be okay. But as long as you have the pressures of society always altering people's decisions because of who they want to like them or what the perception is of what their business or what they're running is from the outside public, y'all are going to be in trouble. As long as it's like that, you are going to be in trouble. And you got to be okay with that. You got to. But just the people, he didn't deserve to lose his job. That man got a family. Man, he wasn't thinking about his family. A man who has responsibilities and is out here having to do everything in his power to keep his babies, his family fed, he does not put himself in a crazy position like that. He don't. He's thinking a lot better. He's on his P's and Q's. You don't put that on camera. Teachers got to just show the world how they interacting with their kids so they can look like the teacher of the year, the coolest teacher. Y'all want to be so cool with kids. That's the reason why the kids y'all raising is becoming terrible. Our parents was not trying to be our friend. Our elders did not care about how we viewed them as cool. Where did we get this shit from? My generation wanted our elders to be so cool with us so we can feel like they can relate. Bro, no matter how old you are, that elder is going to always have certain years above you. If they got 20 years or more of years ahead of you, bruh, y'all would never, ever still be able to relate. No matter when they was 30, you was 13. And when you turn 30 and they 60 something, you still can't relate to the years of what that elder still went through, bruh. When are we going to get that? So now y'all want to show these kids, these youth, that y'all could connect with them. They will still never be able to relate. Even the fast life they're living now, they live in life faster than what we lived it. But all they doing is running a race too fast. They running a sprint too fast. And it's drying them out, but they still don't have enough years on this earth, no matter how fast they live. They'll never still have the years that we have. So they can never relate. Y'all still want to try to be the cool parent, the cool uncle, the cool neighbor. You want to smoke with kids. You want to, oh, well, y'all can come back. Come on, man. You know, bro, you old enough, man. I started smoking the same age. Bro, you should never want to be equal with no child. This millennium generation is wow. Y'all want to be equals with kids, but you want to be equal with them so you can make them feel like you understand them. Until they piss you off and they beat their chest and think they can beat you. Now they ain't your elder no more. Now they ain't your equal. Man, please, I never make a child feel like we ever going to be equal. Never. I don't let my nephews play with me like that. I don't let my kids play with me like that. I don't let my little cousins play with me like that. Man, I'm 34, bro. I still don't even allow my little cousins to play with me like that. And they 3-4 years younger than me. I still don't. Man, please. I don't care if you almost 30. Man, please don't play with me. I ain't gonna never treat you like no little child and talk to you any kind of way. But boy, when you play with me, I'm not gonna watch you disrespect your parents. I'm not gonna watch you. I'm not gonna watch my little cousin disrespect my auntie. Disrespect my grandma in front of me? Are you fucking crazy? I check a married time. Now, whatever that you're doing on your outside life, that's your business. I'm not checking you about that. Now, unless you're going down the wrong path and your behavior is affecting people, then yeah. But if you ain't affecting nobody, I ain't holding you accountable on some shit that you live your life. But when you start to disrespect adults in front of me, man, I don't care how old you are. I don't care. I don't let no child think that they equal with me. I will never let none of my friends' children. I tell people all the time, boy, if you feel some type of way about me correcting your children or me disciplining, boy, don't bring them around me. I do not care. I don't care. I don't care who they are. I don't care what our relationship is towards you, me and you. How cool we've ever been. How long we've been cool. I don't care. I don't deal with disrespectful kids. I don't deal with grown kids. I don't do that. I can't stand watching one of my homies or some one of my friends when they children are out the way in front of me with them. If I ain't gonna say nothing, listen here, I won't come back around. Like, hey, man, boy, until you get your child check, boy, listen, I can't watch you. I can't watch you be weak like that to a child in front of me. If I can't correct it, I'll be damned if I'm around you watching you not even correct it. I can't do it. I can't do it at all. But just understanding, man, talking about, you know, nobody had a problem with it until it was a black man. You're damn right. I always said, man, it's always about race. Y'all keep complaining about race. But when I sit in here and think about it, you're right. It's because he's a black man. Not only that, it's a black man, man. If you don't realize, anytime that teachers, black teachers, have gotten in the midst of just the optics of perception of sexualizing kids or anything, that've gotten fired for little things like that, you don't realize it's either an attractive, a very attractive black young woman, body, face, all of that, or they may think buddy attractive, that where he can look like, that he may not look like a weirdo, old weirdo creep, but to the media or to the perception of social media, a lot of the females, I mean, probably could get some hoes. Probably could. Nigga getting his hair taken down looking like Trey Songz. Come on, now. Let's just be real. So, yes, a black man. Because, again, what a black man possesses, the power, the be able, the leadership that he possesses, it is dangerous. It is. But you to play into, you know, stupidity or to fumble that bag like that, man, it's crazy. I'm wild and I'm floored, and I'm floored about everybody who's just, they ain't even that bad. I don't think y'all looking at the just putting context in why it's all happening. It's showing that a lot of y'all who want to be business owners or anything, you're going to always be sole proprietor and one employee of all y'all black owned businesses. Because when you don't realize, bro, when how you run, the perception of how your business is, your employees and their behaviors in your place of business and outside your place of business, how it looks, that can be the detriment of your business. And y'all don't understand it. Y'all don't really feel it because y'all don't have nothing that y'all have billions and millions of dollars behind that y'all have to be like, hey, boy, I ain't even gonna lie. I got to respect this, bro. Like, we got to let you go. You making us look bad. And most of y'all never will. A lot of us, maybe I won't either. Never be. But I know, even if I don't ever have a business to where I have millions of thousands of hundreds and thousands of employees, at least I know that that's just another day at the office of decisions being made when you have a multi-million dollar business or corporation or anything like that, that when it's behavior like that, you got to let that person go. School, you know, even that public school is state funded, bro. Like, when the public sees something like that, you don't want people to think in their mind that even if they sexualize that y'all think that, but this is what the kids good, that for your mind to even possibly think that can possibly be happening down there. You don't want that. So you got to make that decision. He got to go. No disrespect. You just got to go. And you got to move. And he has to learn from it. It's okay to learn from it. Bro, that setback, all is for a man to be a bounce back for greatness. That's all. But once again, y'all letting Pete, you letting him run the victim Olympics. Crying on social media. Oh my God. I said, no, bro. So even him getting fired, y'all gonna keep some money in his pocket because that's what y'all care about, sob stories and feeling sorry for people. So now he gonna just go on a social media tour and get paid by his content now. So even with that, he even now has a comeback. So he won't be losing that job. Just opens up the door now for the grind that he's going to have to come through now when it comes to social media and making content. If he was being a content creator back then, now without this job, now he got to dive into this now. Content creating was just a hobby for him. But now, this gonna be you, brother. Turn up. Turn up. Dive into it. And the best audience to have it is the black community who's going to be unaccountable. And oh my God, man, yes, this nigga is going to make money now off of the ignorance of people. That's all. Of pity parties. We're in a world now that we just whine and cry and make people feel sorry for us. That's how we get out. If they don't agree with you, we make them feel so bad that you guilt them into catapulting you up. We guilting people to be like, oh, nah, you hating. When somebody tell the truth, now they hating on you. The truth is hate. If you can't tell it, now, if you don't want to be a hater, let me do what I do and not be accountable for it. So don't say nothing. Don't correct me. Don't tell me what I'm doing or you hating. This is not hate. This is the truth. Nobody wants to see somebody not have a job, man. But we got to call a spade and hold each other accountable. That's the only way the black community don't get better. But now we've put so much feminine energy in the air. You even got now men unaccountable and crying and bitching and pissing and moaning. And now it's just like, yeah, they becoming sassy. It's becoming a soft boy era. You're right. This is the type of men y'all want to be. Women only enjoy y'all being like this when it's to their advantage. But as soon as you make them mad, they gonna tell you what you really is to them. Soft, being bitches, crying and whining. Right now, you just ain't made them mad. As soon as they get mad, they're going to tell the truth about you now. Best believe that. But tighten up, y'all, man. But I'm glad this is the first episode of season 3. You know, I said that it was going to, you know, it's going to be a lot of holding each other accountable, man. And like I said, I'm not opposed to anybody holding me accountable. Because at the end of the day, things that I do, make sure it doesn't affect people. So whatever I do. And also, man, nobody wants to sit there and just have the internet knowing every single thing that they do. That is just a scary life to live. But once again, y'all make sure if you're listening on Apple Podcasts, you know, rate it 5 stars. Make sure y'all give, you know, a review on it. Definitely, I appreciate the ones now, man. I don't know what it was in the last, you know, 3 episodes of season 2, man. But definitely, we've got a ton of new followers, man. And I appreciate y'all coming through, man. And you know, I hope y'all are here to stay. Definitely binge listen to everything that you missed in the first season, second season. Man, you got a lot. You got a lot of content. Catch up with a lot of content. Anybody new now, welcome. It's gonna be a great season 3, guys. Appreciate you coming through in the rabbit hole. It's JP on the FWM podcast. Fly with me.